much. We ought to always know who people are that are visiting. Forgive us for not asking. Maybe you can tell us who your guest is. That's good. Good information. Good to know that. I came across a little plaque the other day, and I'm always interested in things that apply to me. And the little plaque was on wood, smaller than this, but I put it on my copier and kept enlarging it until I got this. It said, as you can see, "Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, let me sow pardon. Where there is doubt, let me sow faith. Where there is despair, let me sow hope. Where there is darkness, let me sow light. And where there is sadness, let me sow joy." I thought that every day when I get up, I'd like to have that in a prominent place where I can see it. And so I brought it home this past week. I made these copies and put them out front. If anybody would like any, maybe better than some of the other stuff you have stuck up around, might be something to remind you. Something that helps us to develop for eternity. There's not a lot of stuff out there today that's helping us to develop for eternity. This will stop us from being selfish, and all of us need to realize that one thing the devil wants to use in all of us is the flesh. And the devil wants us to concentrate on number one and be concerned about number one. But let me tell you, if you make that a prayer, that will cost you. If you're not prepared for the cost, don't pick it up and tack it up and make that your prayer. That's what that'll cost. You look at everything that's on that, it'll cost you. Everything it'll cost you. It's going to cost you many times your reputation. But you know, I'm always reminded of the verse that says, verse in Philippians about the Lord Jesus Christ, "He made himself of no reputation." You know, the whole world, Spanish Wells and everywhere else around you, that's all they're concerned about. Their reputation. Maintaining their reputation. And no one wants a bad reputation. Right away you think of a drug addict and you think of alcoholics and all the others. But the Lord Jesus Christ was not afraid to be identified with those in need. That's what I'm talking about. You say, "Well, yes, I think of those sick people that I ought to visit and pray with, and that is a ministry. And that is important." You say, that's identifying with people in need, and it certainly is. But so was identifying with Zacchaeus and Nicodemus. So was identifying and sitting on the well with a woman who was selling her body. And you and her sitting on the well out there in nowhere, and finding others coming, your disciples, other Christians coming. You know the biggest critics? You know who will be your biggest critic if you make this a prayer? Other Christians. Other Christians. You know what we're afraid of more than anything in life? You say, "Well, what about you?" I know where I'm coming from. I know what I'm talking. Other Christians. That's what we're afraid of. And Jesus knew they were coming. You say, "But he was Jesus," yes. But you see, a long time ago, he determined he'd make himself no reputation. Laid aside not the prerogatives that made him God, but he laid aside those prerogatives that were his of glory and of reputation, that said who he was, that said to the rest of the world, "You bow down before him." And he came as a servant. And that's my prayer. "Lord, this will make me a servant." And so I brought it to share it with you and put it out front out there. If you'd like a copy, why, just go over it. For the last couple of weeks, we were involved in a different type of ministry. And that is that, as I announced to you today, 2 weeks from this evening at 9:30, Spanish Rose Gospel Chapel will be presenting a one-hour TV special on TV 13 in Nassau that will speak the gospel to more people than we've spoken to here in Spanish Wells in the last 5 years. I can even go further than that. That one telecast will present the gospel to more people than we've reached in a very long time. Our choir is going to sing four pieces, beautifully done. Some of you already know we had the counselors in here. That was not said in us. Don't even put that in there. That's a private company that we hired to come in here. Production is costing us about $4,000. And we have already engaged the services of a counseling center, which is the center that Billy Graham uses, the Billy Graham organization, when they have their TV specials. And so at the end of the telecast, there'll be a telephone number come on the screen, and I will tell folk to dial that number for help. And already there's a group of Christians in Nassau who are meeting and dedicating themselves to answer the questions that people have. People have problems with marital problems. They have problems with their children, domestic, other problems. We believe many are going to be saved through that telecast. We want you to pray about that. We want you to pray that God's glory will be the utmost priority. We want to pray that souls will be saved. Not only that, but yesterday, day before Friday, I came back. I had been to Miami and picked up 300 copies of a video that we've done. The Gospel Chapel has picked up the tab for part of the production of the TV special. But then, because we did the choir and did other stuff, it ran over. We did it a little bit better. We wanted something that was of quality. Because, you see, you're competing with the outside world out there, where you're competing with all sorts of stuff. And somebody says, well, why can't we just shoot the church and just let them see what we got? Well, thing is that those who have studied this will tell you that there are three groups of people out there that watch television. Number one, there are those people out there who are church people. Now, 9:30, because we'll advertise this and because it'll be in newspapers and there'll be ads on Sedanesh radio and television, we'll probably have the greatest audience that Sedanesh has had for a long time because of the material that we have in here and because it's coming from Spanish Wells and because the Spanish Wells choir is singing, because we're talking about Hurricane Andrew and the victims of Andrew and showing footage of Andrew and talking and interviewing people and talking about how faithful God was. And so the first group of people are going to be those who flock out of their churches and go home and turn on their TV because they want to see this thing that they heard about coming to Spanish Wells. And regardless of what we've got, they're going to tune in and listen to it, and they're going to say it's the best thing they ever saw. But there's another group who are church people who are going to be very critical. And unless it's something that is interesting to them, they will turn it off, go out to the restaurant, or they'll go do something else, put in a videotape, switch to satellite. The third group are those who are not saved. He doesn't care the first thing about you butting into his programming on Wednesday, on Sunday evening. Because the first thing we're doing, we've encouraged Sedanes to give us a time where they've had to preempt other programs. They've had to move the movie that was on up starting earlier. So when people tune in this time, they'll know the movie's going to be over now, and there's a religious program coming on at 9:30. They're the ones that we have to be concerned about. They're the ones that we want to reach as much or more than anybody else. And unless, if you just throw them a religious program, they turn it off because they said, hey, this is Sunday, I've had enough of that, and they go on to something else. And so this is why when this opens, it opens with scenes that were shot by Marsha and Lucinda of the actual hurricane itself when the hurricane was coming in. It's very dramatic. And it captivates you immediately as we come on the screen saying the Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel presents with some very lovely music. Very nice music. It comes on, catches your attention, and immediately I begin to talk. You don't see my face, but I'm talking and saying what you're going to see today. For 2 minutes, we show every scene that we, not every scene, but every interview that we do. We show the choir singing. We show Lloyd Higgs' house and talking. We show Bill Hicks. We show Randy Gray. We show Mr. Lambert talking about the five children that were drowned. We're highlighting the five children that were drowned. Mr. Lambert tells the story very dramatically. At one point, he can't control himself as he talks about the two children that somebody put on their shoulder and walked up by his store up the hill. It must have been Miss Geneva's children. He said a young lady working in the store came out and told him it almost broke her heart. And as he, his voice cracks as he talks about that, and we show the pictures, and we say, God speaks. We say that's how God spoke. He talks about what the effect that it had on this community. And then we seek to show that Hurricane Andrew had an effect. Most people we talk with say that Hurricane Andrew was the greatest disaster that this island has ever known. The second thing that they remember as being a disaster is the five children that were drowned. Yet as you go and talk with people about the five children that were drowned and what happened during that time, you discover that people were softened, people were broken, and God was blessed and glorified and souls were saved. We're hoping that that would happen as a result of Andrew. There was a softening, but as we know that very soon, as Brother Lambert said, very soon it seems as if we began to be more interested in recovering the things that we lost. In 1955, people didn't have very much to recover. And even though it wasn't material things they lost, they felt that they had lost a part of them, just like Geneva and just like Madge and Lurleen lost. They felt that they lost a part of them. And every day they relived that. And every moment, people couldn't sleep. And it cost the Lord to be greatly glorified. We're reliving that. We believe that we have a very good program. I know that within in our thinking, before we can really pray about a television broadcast, we'll be really serious. Somehow the Lord really has to do something for us because we've been so oriented to the church. Yet this is not the place that we've been commissioned to preach the gospel in the church. You know that. I don't have to remind you of that. But I have to because it's important for us to realize that the chief mission of the church is not just to edify itself, but to reach the unreached. You know, we try to do that with the Gospel Express broadcast every week, twice a week. There are thousands and thousands of people who hear the gospel message as it's sung and as it's preached. We try as best we can to put together a program that's appealing to a lot of people. It's just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Multi Furniture and a lady came up to me and she said, "Oh, Brother Neely, I want to see you." She said, 2 years ago, my husband and I was in our car leaving church and a car ran a stop sign and my husband has been paralyzed ever since. And she said, "We've been to Miami, we've been all over, but he sits at home. As a result, I don't ever get to church anymore," she said, "but you can guarantee that every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we tune in to Set and S2, and we are blessed by your program." And people meet me all over and say that. And, you know, I thank the Lord for your involvement, the Gospel Chapel's involvement, for your prayers and your concern. But I believe that we have put together, with the Lord's help, and with the Lord's direction, because I received notice of this in November last year from Nassau, and I put it aside. I said, I know how much is involved. I don't want to be involved, and it's just too much work. I told the Lord over and over. It would kept coming up on my desk. I kept seeing it and reminding myself. I said, no, I don't want. It's too much. It's too much for me to handle. And then it seems as if the burden got great as it got closer to the time, and then we had a meeting with the brethren. And then I went into putting it together, which meant my mind had to be totally dedicated to that for the last 3 weeks. I've hardly thought anything else. I've slept that. Everything I've talked, everything I've done has been that this television program. And I have to say that Brother Girth and the choir cooperated 100%. The night we had the two cameras here with the three cameramen from Nassau, they cooperated. They were well disciplined. I had never seen a group more disciplined and stayed till 12:30 that night to get those songs done. And so the second thing we've done, in a couple of weeks, you'll be able to buy a videotape like this of the choir music for the first time. 12 songs. And then what we did, we went over to the school that day. We were here taping and we taped the children singing the national anthem. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to have our children on there And they're going to be at the end of that tape, that videotape. And so that, we'll be talking more about that later on, but we believe that these things can be used for the glory of God. All of us are familiar with video. That's not something new anymore. A lot of shut-ins are going to appreciate the video. A lot of friends abroad who, it's easy to drop this in an envelope and mail it off to some friend somewhere who will want to see and hear about Spanish Wells and the recovery and what has happened. And so I trust you'll remember during the next week, because it's not been easy. As I said, I have worked. I could have preached here 5 times a day, every day for the last 3 weeks, and I would have not have worked as hard as I worked. I worked for the Gospel Chapel, but I worked for the Lord too. The Lord is my master. One night, I came out of the studio. We went in at 9. I came out 2 o'clock. The next night, it was 3 o'clock. And Friday morning, I came out 5:30 from 9 o'clock the morning before. We thought we'd finished at 10. We thought we'd finish at 12. We thought we'd finish at 2, at 3, and it kept going on. And 5:30, I went and got a shower and went to the airport and caught Bahamas Air, 7 o'clock flight to Miami. Ran the car and drove to Fort Lauderdale and picked up these tapes. Went to the Fort Lauderdale airport and caught a flight to North Eleuthera and brought the tapes back in. That's just how it's been going, because I'm possessed when I have a mission. And that is to see it through and to see it accomplished, because my life has been given to the Lord's work and for His glory. Not just to preach, preaching is a part of it, but to proclaim that word to the ends of the earth, wherever I can get it out. And I feel that we are doing something that's going to reach a lot of people with this. And I want you to especially pray for it and promote it. Wherever you go, it'll help us with this. If there's any money left after we sell these tapes, it will go to the radio ministry. Not a penny comes to me, not a single penny, okay? And we have to pay for some of the production extra, and it'll go to that. So I thought I'd say that in the beginning. Took a lot of time, but information is very important. And one of the things that I have learned in my short life, only 51 years old, but I know I look older, Lorraine, but is that for anything, to get the maximum out of anything that we do for God, we've got to promote it. We've got to tell people about it. And for the Lord Jesus to be glorified, we've got to tell. That's the gospel message. So I want you to turn, if you would, to John's Gospel. John's Gospel. I would like to read a few verses from verse 46 of chapter 4. Verse 46 of John chapter 4. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down before my child dieth. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to improve. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And he himself believed, and his son and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's read chapter 5 and verse 1. After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after troubling of the water, stepped in was made well of whatever disease he had. A certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been thus now a long time, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Well, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the waters trouble to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Immediately the man was made well, and took up his bed, and walked. The same day was the Sabbath. The Jews, therefore, saith unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me well, the same saith unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that who saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus had moved away. A multitude being in that place, afterwards Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made well, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And therefore did the Jews persecute him and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. I read the passage because that's where I want our focus to be today. That means this morning and all through today as we conclude this evening, Lord willing. One of the things the Lord Jesus Christ encountered as he came into the world was a group of religious men who were at the temple in Jerusalem, where at one time it was the only place for men to worship. And they at one time were the only men who represented the people to God. But gradually, that place had sunk into the depths of sin and depravity. No longer could you hear the voice of God, and no longer did those men speak as of the oracles of God. And very often the Lord Jesus Christ had to indict the whole nation. Very often he was very pointed as he spoke to certain individuals about their spiritual condition. And very often too, the Lord Jesus Christ, more often than speaking to any others, he spoke to those men of the Sanhedrin Council, scribes and Pharisees. He spoke to them about their responsibility and their leading the people in the direction that they had led them. Over in verse 39 of chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ says, Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They would not accept him, even though John says he was the Word. And they wouldn't accept that he was speaking or had come from God, or that anything that he said was authentic. But they believed Moses. You know, we've got a lot of people like that today. They say, man, if you want to get doctrine, you've got to go to the epistles. And so some people, that's all they preach from the epistles. And the others who say, well, no, I'd rather go to the gospels, and there's the words of Jesus, and Jesus spoke, and that's it. The others who say, hey, the Old Testament. Let's get it in type and pictures from the Old Testament. And yet I hear the Lord Jesus Christ saying, search the scriptures. He didn't say search the Acts of the Apostles. He didn't say search Romans. He didn't say search Exodus and Leviticus. Or John's Gospel, he says, search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. Those Scriptures that you're looking at from the Old Testament, all the sacrifices that are portrayal of the true Lamb of God, you look at them, you think you have eternal life. And yet you are denying me, and they are they which testify of me. The Scriptures testify of Jesus Christ. For if the Scriptures do not testify of Jesus Christ, they are not Scriptures. And then he indicts them with one of the greatest indictments that he's ever made against them when he says in verse 40, And ye will not come to me. Oh, can't you hear his voice? God's Son, who has left heaven, God's Son, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, knowing that He's going to Calvary and that He's going to die, that His life is going to be given in sacrifice for a sinful, lost world. And He stands and He's offered Himself to this world. He's offered Himself to this nation of Israel. And then He has to say, ye will not come to Me. And He adds, that you might have life. That you might have life. What kind of life? Well, you know what He talked to Nicodemus about, everlasting life. That was the life He's talking about. Life from above. You will not come to Me. He says, I receive not honor from men. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Listen, I can't say I know you. I don't think you know me. We think we know each other, but we really don't. Because you see, you'd have to sit down with me. When I sit down with a person and begin to interview them for my broadcast, it's amazing sometimes the things that come out in that interview. And sometimes when I thought I knew a person, I really don't know them at all. And it's only a drop in the bucket, the few minutes I spend interviewing them. But there is one who stands and says, I know you, Luton Neely. The Lord Jesus Christ knows me. When He says to them, but I know you, and you have not the love of God in you. When He looks at a soul and sees that there's only been a profession, when He sees that there is no reality, He has the right. He only can say, you do not have the love of God in you. Verse 43, He said, I am come in My Father's name, and you receive Me not. That's a great statement. I am come in My Father's name. And you always talk about Jehovah. You always talk about God, the Messiah coming, and yet you receive Me not. Yet I'm come in My Father's name. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. That's man, isn't it? One comes and he's a false prophet, and he comes in his own name. He has no letters. He has no authority. And yet they receive him. How can you believe who receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to My Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. He said, you're trusting in Moses. You're saying there's only one scripture that you can turn to where you can have eternal life, where you can hear the voice of God. He says, but had you believed Moses, you would have believed Me, for he wrote of Me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe My word? And it was a rejection of Him and His Word. And to reject the Word of God, to reject His person, is to be damned for eternity. To finally reject Him is unpardonable. You want the unpardonable sin, it's final and total rejection of Jesus Christ. There is no pardon from that sin. I don't care how many people say you'll have another chance on the other side. There is no chance. And I remember, I've said it before, sitting in a church in Nassau where a young man was being buried. And hear the minister say, this young man had died an alcoholic. And the minister said, you see, he's up in heaven. But let us pray that he be brought closer to Jesus. Because of how he lived here, he's far away from Jesus. But he's still in heaven. He's way down there, he said. But through our prayers, he can be brought close to Jesus. There is no second chance. Once one dies outside of Jesus Christ, there is no second chance. How the world needs to be told that. We live in a country, our own Bahamas, when a lot of people out there in Nassau and our islands somehow think that doing good is going to get them to heaven. Yeah, I'm amazed at how many people that I talk with. And I'm standing somewhere and I make a statement like that and I'll respond by saying, are you sure? And what a shock when I say, are you sure? And then it's amazing, the conversation. Amazing. Very often the discovery is that they've never known Jesus Christ. They've served in the church for many years. They've been baptized, sprinkled, whatever it is they've done. They've gone through all the rites and the rituals of their church. Everything that should have made them a saint. And they're not, because they've left out the blood of Jesus Christ. They've left out the cross work of Jesus Christ. And they're not saved. They're hopelessly lost. Two things are very prominent
in the opening verses of these chapters in John's Gospel. And one is this, that Judaism had failed. And everything, beloved, fails. Everything must fade in the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Human effort must fail. Human government must fail. Dependence upon any other instrument, our education, the things that we've accumulated, they must all fail. They must all fade. And there's only one prominent thing, and that is the work of Jesus Christ. Judaism had failed because man had failed. Judaism was a vehicle to point men to Jesus Christ. Only a vehicle. A vehicle. The church is a vehicle. The church is a vehicle to point men and women to Jesus Christ. To be used, the church, not the building, the church, ecclesia, the members, the body of Jesus Christ. We are witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who tell out, who tell forth. And the supreme mission of the church is carried out as we see that the gospel gets out to the ends of the earth. But because of the failure of Judaism, the deplorable state of Israel was evidence. Evidence because, and every time the church has failed, we see a child going astray, and right away we say, well, you have to look at the home where he came from, but not in every case. Not in every case. But that's what we say right away. If you see a nation going astray, it's because the church has failed. Because the church has failed. And the Bible says that as we come to the last days, and as it becomes darker and darker, as you see the deplorable conditions of our country and other countries, immorality is flagrant. Seems to be a thing of the day. And the same moral fibers that are deteriorating in the United States and other countries are affecting us. We see the same failures here. We see the same threads of depravity and failure. But the Holy Spirit would draw our attention away from the nation of Israel when we come to John's Gospel. And he focuses on Jesus Christ. And this is why I say any scripture that focuses on Jesus Christ, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. A-double-L. Don't ever let anybody say, because it is to defame the scriptures, to say that any scripture is not a scripture that you can hear the voice of God through. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, I'm not talking about any verse. Okay, I'm talking about all scripture. You can't come to a book and say, well, that book don't teach salvation. Because almost in every book of the Bible, it teaches salvation. Show me one that don't teach salvation. It may not teach baptism, but it teaches salvation. It may not teach the Lord's Supper, but it teaches salvation. And all scripture, this is why there's a body of truth. And John's gospel is a part of that body. John's gospel contains what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say, his life, his dealings. And as we come to these verses, one of the things that we're reminded of is that the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected. The Lord Jesus Christ's testimony was not received. When he comes to Samaria, you notice his word was received. But in his own country, he testified these words in verse 42 of John chapter 4. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. No honor. Jesus had no honor among his own people. But when we come to Samaria, Samaritans, and many of them were saved. After he dealt with the woman at the well, and she went and told all things that ever she did, and said, is not this the Christ that came? And there were those who were saved, the scripture says, because of the testimony of the woman. And there were those who were saved because they heard him speak. A lot of people will get saved because of a testimony. A lot of people will be saved when they see how God has changed a person's life. But oh, when somebody hears God, hears Jesus Christ through his word, the word becomes, John said, he's the word, I'm the voice. And when we hear the word, and the word is life-giving, the word doesn't involve the traditions of the church. The word doesn't involve all of the activities of the church, the Word is separate from all of it. It's unadulterated. It doesn't mix with it. People mix the Word with the church. We want to have a program in the church. We want to do a certain thing, and we always can find the Scripture to back it. We always do. Every church does. The Catholics find it. The Anglicans find it. Everybody finds a Scripture. Doesn't mean it's right. It can be right if it's according to the Word of God. But a lot of people, they don't find a Scripture first, and then based what they're going to do on that Scripture, they decide what they want to do, and then they come and find a Scripture. And we're told that they rejected His Word, and they didn't receive Him. You see, the Galileans, as they received Him, they recognized His person. They recognized His authority. They recognized that He could give life. And they gave value to His words. They gave value to His words. But because they had been impressed by what they had seen Him do at Jerusalem, some of them go back home and they tell about it. There's the declaration made by Christ to the nobleman. And no doubt as Christ made that declaration to the nobleman, it was intended also for the Galileans. He said, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And there were those people out there who were just looking for signs and wonders. You'll find there's a big crowd. Right now, one of the things I had to contend with this TV special to get on a certain time was a guy named Paul Butler. If you turned on your television at nighttime, you know what he's doing? He's got a big tent up there in Nassau. And he's got people he's healing every night, he says. And flocks of poor people and ignorant people who don't know any better are flocking to his tent to be healed, so they think. And he's got the place packed out, and he's getting his offerings, and he's on television. We've had to deal with trying to move him out of the way a little bit. Hope he doesn't get too offended. But they've done it. But there are a lot of people. Man, once there's something happening out there, they'll follow it. There are a lot of people who followed the Lord Jesus for the loaves and the fishes. They were following because of what they could get out of it. But Him they did not reverence. Him they did not obey. Him they did not accept. And then the Lord Jesus Christ shows the condition of the Jews. They were incapable of recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ. And their failure is seen in the fact that they did not recognize His words. Chapter 4 and verse 43. Says, now after 2 days He departed thence and went into Galilee. God's ways are not our ways. Why He did that, I don't know. You see, during those days spent in Samaria, many had believed on Christ. Many had believed. And you say, why didn't He say this? They didn't continue to preach. Well, He leaves. A very happy scene. He said, well, he was being rejected. He was being hunted. At least he was protected there. There were those who loved Him. Those who had been saved. Who remembered that that's where they had got life. That's where they had first saw the light. And now He's going to leave. And He's going to go into a place where the people are contrary to Him. He's going into a place where He received no honor. It only proves this. The Scripture says of the Lord Jesus Christ, He pleased not Himself. If there is one text, a part of a text that I want indelibly stamped across my mind, don't please yourself. Because I believe to be the Christian that God honors and that God will bless and whose life will be blessed, will be that one who can totally give himself as a servant to God. Give himself as God's servant, to serve God, not to please himself. So very often I'm seeking to please myself. I'm thinking of what's going to hurt me. I'm thinking of my own feelings. I'm thinking of my rest, my pleasure, my time off, what I have to do. And I remember that the Scripture says, and one of the things I suppose that annoys me more than anything in Christian service is to come to somebody who's professing, dedicated Christian who has crossed all T's and dotted all the I's, and thinks they're some super saint because they attend all the services and because they break bread and because they've done it for 40 years and because they have been baptized and because they're PB. and you ask them to do something for God, some simple thing, and they can't find time. They can't find time. Because you see, I think God, Scripture says we should always be ready to give an answer. But not just to give an answer. Because giving an answer is just not speaking words. Giving an answer is action. Always be ready to serve Jesus Christ in whatever way that He calls us to serve Him. And the Scripture says He pleased not Himself. He had come into this world to do the will of His Father God. And gradually and slowly, it is sinking into my mind. I like what Lloyd said when we were interviewing him. He said, one of the things I've learned, and then he said, he caught himself and he went a little further and he said, I've learned a lot of things in the last 2 years. He said, I'm still learning. But one of the things I've learned in the last 2 years, I trust that we all, and that I continue to learn, that when I was saved, that I was made a servant of God to serve Him. Oh, I know we think of servants of God in a different capacity, but God expects all of us to serve Him. And God expects all of us to do His will. Jesus came with one express purpose, to do the will of His Father God. And you see Him following that path marked out. If there's anything I get from John's Gospel, it's this. There's a path that leads from Bethlehem all the way to the cross and to the grave. And to heaven's glory. And Jesus Christ followed that path. You know what it was called? The will of God. The will of God. I always do the will of my Father God. Jesus was not concerned about personalities. Jesus was not concerned about those who pat Him on the back. And those who sought to impress Him. But Jesus was concerned about all of mankind who were in the same state. Fallen, who needed lifting, and He had come to do His Father's will. And it's the will of one who has been committed and determined that that will lead him ultimately to the cross. And we'll continue with this later on today. Shall we pray? Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, our Father, to make His life our example. Help us to be guided by His words. Help us to be an instrument of peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, let us forgive and pardon. Where there is doubt, let us be faithful and one who trusts. Where there is despair, let us have hope and trust. Where there is darkness, let us spread the light. Where there is sadness, let us bring joy into the lives of those whose hearts have so much despair. We pray Your blessing on Your word now in Jesus' name.